Hi, pal. Welcome to I've Got Your Back, the podcast. My name is Michelle Sutherland, and this is a place where I want to empower and inspire you to tap into the deepest desires of your heart and discover the magic within. Hello, everyone. Welcome to a very special I've Got Your Back, the podcast episode. So we are officially 2 years old, and I thought it'd be really special for the first time to actually record it in a studio. So here we are. And when I say we, I've actually invited the person that was with me when I recorded the trailer for I've Got Your Back, the podcast, and that is the Meg McLean.
Hello.
Hello.
Very excited to be here.
Jazz hands.
I still remember that phone call. You were like, Meg, listen, I've been thinking about doing this podcast, and I know that you've told me it's dead easy, but I don't really know what I'm doing, and I don't really know how to work the laptop, and I don't really know how to work a microphone. Can you just come over and help me record the first bit?
Yeah, totally. And actually, I remember you came round, and I was so nervous that I got, like, I was like checking everything I was going to say. I wrote down the whole trailer, and you were like, right, I'll close the door in your office and I'll just wait outside. And then I started the first bit and I was like, oh, and then you were like, it's okay, Michelle, go again, shut the door. And then I recorded it.
And then remember I said, what are you going to call your listeners?
Oh, that's
when
right.
When you say, are you going to say hi, everyone? You're going to say hi, friends. And what did you say?
Hey, pal.
Hey, pal. And that's how you start every episode.
That's how I start every episode. Although this one I said, hello, everyone. Apologies. Hey, pals. But remember we had a discussion about, do you say pal or pals?
Yeah, pal, because one person.
Because then it feels like I'm talking to you. So these were things that I didn't know. You were like, Michelle, when you say pal, it's like you're talking to that individual. When you say pals, like nobody feels special. So yeah. I sort of play with that one still. I'm not sure.
I like pal.
You like pal?
So pal.
So pal.
Tell us more about I've Got Your Back podcast. What was the thought behind it? What did you want to achieve by starting the podcast?
Well, I think initially, like the first time I had, I actually remember where I was, and I wrote down in my notes in my phone on a bus going into Sydney. So when I was living in Australia, and originally, actually, I wanted to start it because I think there was something around. I knew that I was moving back to Scotland, or feeling that I was going back to Scotland, and I wanted to, initially I wanted to create it to actually elevate Scotland. I don't know if I told you that in the beginning, but I wanted it to be a platform where we start to know the truth about Scotland, because I think at that time there was a lot going on about either a referendum or Scottish independence. There was something going on, and I thought, what role could I play to elevate Scotland and, you know, create a communication channel where we interview real people and find out real facts? So initially on that bus, that's how it started. But as all ideas, sometimes you get the seed, but then it starts to evolve and change into different things. So I wrote down I've Got Your Back, the podcast, and I want it to be a place where people feel safe, people feel heard, we have honest conversations, and we talk about a variety of things, because I think that's me. Like, I've got such a curious mind, and I feel like, you know, the more curious minds we have and the more critically we can think and we create a place for that, then, you know, that'd be really cool. And the reason I called it I've Got Your Back is because I have had people in my life that have categorically had my back, from my grandparents to my mum to family members, and it's such an amazing feeling when someone genuinely has your back. And what that means is that no matter who you are, what background you come from, what faith you have, what beliefs you have, what purpose you have, or if you don't have a purpose, or whatever it is, I truly believe people are special. And I want to know that story, and I want to understand people, and whatever it is that's on their heart, I'm like, got your back. You know, and I think when I heard that for the first time, actually from an ex-boyfriend.
Oh!
Thank you, ex-boyfriend. I remember feeling like, oof. Like when he said to me, no matter what happens, I've got your back. And I was like, I've never had anyone say that to me. And it really impacted me. And so I've built entire businesses on that whole concept. No matter who you are, where you come from, what you do, I've got your back.
So he served a purpose.
He did serve a purpose, yes. Thanks, you know who.
Didn't have your back in the end, right enough.
Well, I think he did.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it ended.
Okay.
And you.
So that was the bigger picture.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment and at the time, I wasn't of that vibe. But years later, I was like, actually, yeah, I did a full 180 in my life after that relationship. So
that's a good life lesson.
Yeah.
It doesn't always seem clear in the moment.
No, it doesn't. But years later, it does.
So Got Your Back podcast was born. And that's definitely how you make each listener feel, I believe, in all of your podcasts. So we're 45 episodes down the line.
Mm-hmm.
How many downloads have we had?
So 2,000, just over 2,000 downloads in 2 years.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
So 2,000 times someone has looked on all of the podcasts available and chosen Got Your Back to put in their ears when they're out running or they're driving or they're taking their kids to school or whatever.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
It's a bit strange, actually, because I genuinely don't get... I mean, I have a look at the numbers and I'm curious to see, but I never put it out for that reason. I put it out, obviously, for the reason I said before, and to create another communication channel that I could reach much wider audience and I could get messages there that would hopefully help people or inspire people or, you know, invoke thoughts. But yeah, it feels strange because when I look at the countries... Is probably equally like 45 different countries. And I was like,
wow.
And now I'm like, who are those people? I want to know who you are. But obviously you don't. You just get to see like countries, but you don't actually know who the listeners are. But yeah, it's a bit strange knowing that I put something out there and now people in multiple different countries listen to that and it resonates and people continue to keep listening. It's kind of cool.
So we should ask people to say hello to you.
Yeah, say hello so I know who you are.
If you're in a country that's not Scotland or Australia, then let us know where you're listening from and tag you on Instagram.
Yeah, definitely. Let me know.
So you've had loads of guests.
Yes.
How do you choose your guests? How do you ask people?
I really go from a sort of gut feeling and sort of intuitive perspective. So when I first started, I obviously did quite a few myself just to get in the rhythm and get used to it and being a podcaster, whatever that means, you know, but podcaster. You're a podcaster. I'm such a podcaster.
Oh my God, I'm like, a podcast.
I actually changed my profile once in that. I thought I'm a podcaster. Done 3 episodes. So what was that you asked me? I got caught up in podcaster.
How do you choose your guest?
Oh, choose your guest, yeah. So intuitive place. It comes from an intuitive place. And I think about, I do tend to, in the beginning, I did tend to go for people that I know, like, and trust. And I believe that their message and their voice needs to be elevated. So, you know, I invited you on because you're like, you know, one of my closest friends. We've been in business 16 years this year. And I know that you had started your own podcast. So I was like, let's get Meg on. And I know that your story is really cool when you... And I always find with you, Meg, like, you're always about everyone else. Like, always. And I thought, how cool would it be to shine a light on Meg to actually go deeper? And actually, in that episode, there was stuff came out that you said to me you'd never really shared before. So I sort of go off, definitely in the beginning it was very much about people that I knew, like, liked and trusted, actually, that I've learned from or I admire, and then I started to have themes. So I was like, okay, well, the first sort of theme for the first season, I think I had a first season, and it was all about B Corp, because I actually launched it in B Corp month, which most people would know I'm passionate about. You know, I help companies become B Corp certified. So I ended up interviewing, I just would ask, like, directors of big B Corp companies, do you want to come on my podcast? Because I'd love to talk about being a B Corp. And they were like, yeah. So we had, like, Jay and Sterling, the head of Walida, which is an amazing beauty brand. We had The Beauty Kitchen, Joe Chidley, who is the founder, Glaswegian founder of that company that's a B Corp. So it's sort of, I sort of tried to theme it and create seasons of things that I was focusing on. And then well-being became a sort of theme, and then I thought, well, who is like, and who have I learned from, who's made an impact in me? So Mel Brown, for example, who massively helped me transform my financial mindset as an entrepreneur, but as an individual. So I got her on for financial well-being, because she's been the one out of everyone I've ever heard that she's been the best, you know. And then it'll just be very random. Like, I went to South Africa at the end of last year, and I was there for a client. But what happened was, the very first place I booked into, again, it was a very intuitive decision. I was like, I'm booking into this like Sweet Orange Hotel, it was called, in the middle of Cape Town. And as soon as I got to breakfast on the first day, this little Irish man said, hello, how are you? And I was like, hi there, Michael Appleton. And, you know, we got into a conversation over breakfast, and turns out he's a psychologist based in London, working for the NHS, and seeing and having sessions with people with so much trauma and so much struggles. And him telling me that he was writing about community and how community can actually heal people. And I was like, oh, I've been in communities all my life. Like, I feel as if this is so good. So in the moment, I just said to him, after only chatting for an hour, I said, can you come on my podcast? And he was like, oh. And he was taken aback, because he's a type of person that works, you know, under the radar, does this work without, you know, not a lot of recognition in really tough situations, but he has so much to share and so much data behind it and so much experience. So he was just like, oh yeah, okay. And then, yeah, and then literally the week after I got back, I interviewed him.
Yeah.
So it comes from different places, but in the beginning it was sort of themed based on things, and then it became sort of people that I've learned from. And then if I'm just out and about and I get this real, like, it's almost like the words come out before I even think about it. I just say, do you want to come on my podcast?
Yeah.
So that's how I do it.
I loved the Michael Appleton episode, and part of what I loved about that was the part where he spoke about how, you know, depression and anxiety are such major struggles for people, but the bigger struggle is the shame around it.
The shame,
and
yeah,
how people hold on to that, and they don't want the repercussions of being someone who has depression or anxiety, so they hide it. And that's the shame is an even bigger issue than the original issue. But the fact that you had him on the podcast, you were able to shine a light on that, and there'll be someone listening to that thinking, oh my God, that's me. I have that, and I'm trying to hide it. I'm trying to feel like I'm okay. I'm trying to say, I'm fine, even when I'm not. So it's so important.
Yeah.
And the impact that that's had on so many people with all of your guests.
Yeah. It's been super cool. And like South Africa was really significant, because I had Michael on. Then I was doing a leadership immersion for a client, and the two guest speakers that my friend Tom brought in literally blew my mind. Social entrepreneur Tabile Chittenden, the work that she's doing in Johannesburg, like deep in tough situations, to listen to how social enterprise, like creating businesses that have a true social impact, but people, very grassroots led projects. Like, I'm getting goosebumps now thinking about it. Like, I invited her on just to hear about her work, and, like, you know, her talking about, like, why do we measure GDP in countries? Because the person, the man that actually created GDP, like, doesn't even say we should use that to measure success. And she's like, so what do we use? You know, how do we measure success of a country? And I remember sitting there going, oh, she just sparked so many thoughts. Like, I was like, what's Scotland's purpose? What do we measure? You know, Bhutan is the only country that measures happiness.
Wow.
And they have gross happiness index. So they don't measure GDP, they measure happiness. So I was like, well, and it got me thinking, what do we measure in Scotland? And I actually think, when I really think about it, Scottish people have been deeply known for innovation. Look at all the innovations. Remember, have you ever seen this clip? It's from Top Gear. And I think they were doing a show in Scotland, and it was like, here's the innovations from America. And it was like, one thing. Here's the innovations from England, one thing. Here's all the innovations from Scotland. And it was literally four pages.
Wow.
From all different things. And I was like, maybe that's what we're known for. Like, why would we not measure that instead of money? Yeah. And so she just got me onto this, just inspired me so much with her viewpoint, and coming from South Africa and her culture and her background, it just gave me such a different perspective. And then we had Dr. Pepe, Marias, he came on, he runs one of the most successful marketing agencies in South Africa. He's been voted the number one marketer of like all time across South Africa, but also other countries. And he just came on and talked about, and he actually never really spoke about his agency. He spoke about how he's going through a deep spiritual experience and how he's really actually realizing that purpose and having a personal purpose is the most important thing. Yeah, so that trip, just going on that trip, I just knew that every single one of them I had to interview.
And did you have a favourite of all the guests in 2 years?
It's so hard to have a favourite.
Apart from me.
Apart from you, Meg, I know. Yeah, it's really tricky to call a favourite because in the moment when I was talking to them, I just enjoyed it so much and I learned so much. And, you know, each person obviously had a different background, a different perspective, and actually not always the same. So it's really tricky. But I would say that South African collection, those like three, was really special because I actually went to that country for the first time. I went to, they call it the cradle of humankind, where they believe, you know, Homo sapiens began. Like, it was such a significant trip. It was a brilliant piece of client work, but it was also meeting all these individuals. Like, it felt very serendipitous. It felt very, like, in flow, in alignment. And then when they all said yes immediately to coming on the podcast, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know me. They've just met me, like, you know, this wee random Scottish person from Paisley.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say that.
So you've spoken a few times about intuition, your gut feeling, serendipity, flow. How important is that intuition in how you live your life and how you would suggest that other people act on their intuition?
So I would say as a woman in particular, it's the most powerful thing we have. Like, a woman's intuition is like always right. Like, always, we're always spot on. But I would say for myself and many other women that I speak to, we don't always listen to it.
Yeah.
And we don't always get still and quiet enough to tune into it. And I'll say this from my perspective, up until 2020, I was literally on the go all the time, flying here, doing this. And in some respects, I still am, but it's a different kind of way. And I was just never stopping. And although, like, I think I did make intuitive decisions, as soon as, like, the first lockdown hit in Sydney, like, it was the first time I actually stopped, got into nature, and was sort of forced in a way because I couldn't go to the gym. I was, like, go to the gym every single day kind of person. So then when I got into nature, I just looked at the ebbs and flow of nature, and, like, it was actually unbelievable that a mentor of mine at that time, I was getting some coaching sessions, and she said to me, go out on your walk, because I was only allowed one walk a day at that point, go out on your walk, but don't have any music on, don't play a podcast, literally walk in silence. And I felt that, I felt deeply uncomfortable. I was like, because I'd always have a podcast, I would always have music, like chatting to someone, calling someone. And as soon as I practiced that and got over the uncomfortableness of it at first, I just started getting all these intuitive thoughts. Like, and I think at that time it was podcasts had come up, but I never started it until a few years later. Definity, which is the consultancy I started, that came through really clearly. So all these things started to happen because I was slowing down and actually creating space and stillness to listen. And then before I knew it, like, I'd go on a walk, I'd take the first step, and it was like, okay, do this. And I was like, oh, it went from, like, really uncomfortable to, like, straight away. And also, I think my intuition got greater when I stopped drinking. So that was a few years prior. So that was 2017, I did as an experiment, and I would get such deep, intuitive, like, messages to reach out to someone, to say something to someone. And so, yeah, I think it's the most powerful thing, and I would encourage to tap into that for everyone. I honestly believe it's nature, because I've realised that it's very healing. It releases anxiety, depression. Like, just being surrounded in nature gives so much, and when you do that, you start to get really clear thoughts and really clear messages.
Yeah. Intuition's a funny one, isn't it? I think sometimes people think you know, it's reserved for psychics and healers and people who know all about that stuff. But it's something that we all have. It's something that you can all tap into. Realize the irony of speaking to people about being silent on a walk when we're on a podcast.
On a podcast and you're probably listening. Just sometimes. It's just not all the time, you know.
And it's easy to do, isn't it? It's easy to fill every moment of your waking hours with someone else's information and other people's ideas. And then you think, what do I actually think? What do I actually believe?
Yeah.
Because you're filling your mind with other things.
And I actually believe that's a challenge right now. Because of social media, because of other people's opinions and people being so vocal. And when one person says something, it's like, oh, I disagree with you. And then people go, oh. So because there's so much information coming at us and we expose ourselves from literally the first moment you wake up to likely the last thing at night, you're getting exposed to everyone else's stuff. But like, what's truly yours? Like, what's truly your thoughts? What's your feelings? What are you here to do in the world? Like, what work is it you truly want to do? Like, what decisions do you truly want to make? And sometimes you see things in social media and I'm like, oh, they're, you know, Meg and Michelle are away to Vegas. I should be doing that. And it's like, well, maybe that's not what you should be doing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But you see all these things and it's like FOMO. It's like, oh, I should go and do that. Or I should go and do this. It's like, no, actually, what do you want to do?
Yeah. And continuing on that theme of what do you want to do, that must have been a big part of starting this podcast. And it's not easy to start a podcast.
Mm.
I am going to put myself out there and I'm going to record my thoughts, feelings, beliefs, advice sometimes to other people and hope that someone wants to hear it.
Yeah.
What was your thought process when you actually were putting yourself out there to do that? Did you have moments of, oh God, what if nobody wants to listen? What if I get zero downloads?
No, I didn't actually. Like, there was a nervousness like starting it, because like you said, like, even though I'm in a bit of a rhythm now and this is the first time we're doing this, which again is a wee bit outside my comfort zone, like I actually wanted to use it as another communication tool, like, because I love communication and I love storytelling and sharing, and I believe the more stories we can share, the more connection it brings. So yeah, and I just don't really care what other people think, like genuinely. Like, I have learned to just honour myself, honour the messages that I'm given, see them through, take action and see what happens. And if it positively impacts one person, then that's it for me. And I know that it does, even if it doesn't resonate with other people. I know that if it's worked for me, or I've met someone and I bring them on that I've learned from, I know that it could help someone else. And if not, nothing else, that person has a place to use their voice. So yeah, I don't really think about it. Like, obviously I look at things, but that wasn't my intention.
Yeah.
My intention was to create another communication platform, and it was to create a place to hear different voices and different perspectives.
And what would you say to someone listening to this who has something on their mind or something on their heart and they're thinking, I would love to start a podcast, or I would love to start singing again, or I would love to go and book myself up for that, but I just don't know if I'm brave enough. I just don't know if I have that ability to not care what other people think. I'm too worried about, you know, can I fit it into my life or whatever it may be. And they're putting it off and they're pushing it down and they're pushing it away. What would your advice be to that person?
Just take the first step. Like, literally, and there's a combination of things, but sometimes it's only like a tiny, tiny step. So it's working out what tiny, tiny step that is. And, you know, inviting people that have your back into it. Like, the way I invited you, like, I was feeling a bit like, oh, can I do this? Call Meg. Like, can you come round? And you were like, yeah. So make sure you've got people like that around that you can call upon that have your back and say, listen, I'm doing this thing. Can you come with me? Or, you know, if you're going to an event, I actually know someone that's come to a few of my events, but she's too scared to walk in to the place herself. So she texts me when she's outside, she's like, can you come and get me? It makes me emotional thinking about that, but that's where some people are at. And I say, absolutely, I'll text me, I'll come out and get you and I'll walk in with you. And she has now had so many profound experiences, like Yoga Nidra, like an Arbonne event, like, because she's been willing to get in the car and drive there, but she's also asked for help. And I think that is key. If it's something new, ask for the help of that person or ask for the help of someone that's been there and done it before you. Like, you'd already started your podcast, so I was like, I want you there. And like Wendy, we know, who was a big, Wendy Griffith, who was a big influence in helping me sort of bring it to life. Like, she had the expertise.
Yeah.
So I sort of tend to surround myself with people that have either done it before or ask them questions or sort of have them in my corner and get them in my team so that then I can like make it happen.
Yeah. And isn't that the beauty of podcasts as well? Because if you don't have people like that around you and your friends or your family, podcasts are a way that you can surround yourself with people who think differently, who believe that you can do it, who have stories of going against adversity, coming through adversity. And I love that saying, if you want to fly with the eagles, don't hang around with the pigeons.
Totally.
And sometimes we have pigeons in our lives. And podcasts are a way that you can actually, you know, change who you're actually being impacted by and change who you're listening to and whose words are being part of your life. And that's definitely what you've done for so many of your listeners over these last 2 years.
Amazing. Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Very cool. Yeah. So what's the vision for the future of the podcast?
So I've started to reflect on this because obviously we've reached 2 years, 2,000 downloads, and I start to think, right, I'm always like, what's the 1% sort of improvement you can make on anything each year? So whether it's well-being, whether it's your health, like what business, whatever it is, what's the 1%? So part of this is actually vision. It's like, could this be the new way where I actually get into a studio and maybe instead of having people globally, which I do have a global network, maybe it's more locals and we actually do it in a studio more regularly. I'm sure there's ways to monetize it, but I actually don't know at this point. And again, that wasn't the intention, but it'd be kind of cool if in some way it'd be great to make this into something. And maybe it's we give the money back to a community project. Like, I don't know, like, but I think it needs to stick with the ethos of got your back. So if we have money that's created from this, then, and I'm sure there's people that have monetized podcasts, so I'm sure it will all come soon, but then what do we do with that money? I'd be so curious to, and maybe even the people listening, like, what could we do with that that's kind of cool that would allow other people to have each other's back? Maybe it's like the guests that come on. So if, for example, Tabile spoke about her community project in South Africa, maybe we, you know, based on money we get from her episodes, we actually give it to her community projects or funding for social entrepreneurs to start a business. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, it might be quite tailored to the guest. I've never thought this before. This is all coming out now, so this is a good question. But it might be, yeah, I'd like to give back to the people and their mission or their purpose or their work so that to give something back for their time and for the stuff that they shared potentially. So yeah. If anyone's got any ideas how to do that, then
send them our way.
Yeah, tell me how you monetize it.
Absolutely. That's incredible. And that would be that's a brilliant vision for the podcast, be able to give back to people who your guests are helping.
Yeah, and then it becomes whoever's listening, whoever's contributing it to it, then it goes back to them.
Yeah.
Because they are the people, you know, that's making it happen. And then equally, I might have a community project. Like, I've given some percentage of my profits from Definity to Social Enterprise Academy Scotland because I love that they're teaching social entrepreneurship and about social enterprise in schools to young people in Scotland. So I love them. So maybe, you know, we give something to them. I don't know.
See what happens.
See what happens, yeah.
So do you have any final words for your listeners? Those people who have downloaded an episode, every episode since it came out 2 years ago, and you've been in their ears many a dog walk, many a jog,
sitting in the loo
session.
I wonder if people will listen in the loo. They probably do. Just thank you. Like, thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. And yeah, if there's any ideas or people that you want to hear from or you want to know more of, then just keep sending the ideas. Like, actually, the reason why this came about is because our listener Lynn actually said to me, Michelle, you interview a lot of people, I would love it for an episode that you get interviewed. And I don't think I've ever done that. It's always been either me and my own or me interviewing someone else. So thank you, Lynn, because this is all because of you planting that seed. So yeah, just keep ideas coming. Yeah, like, I'm here to be of service. So or equally, if you want a place to have a voice or share your story, then come, like, I've got your back. That's it.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. Remember, download the Yoga Nidra right after this episode. Make sure you have a listen. It's the most beautiful guided meditation that will regenerate your mind, your body, and your soul. Take care. See you soon.